Johnny's back.
Okay. Jerry's back.
Julie's back.
Toby's back.
Okay. I want to welcome each of you back. I want to ask for your prayers for Benny as he stands before us with God's Word, and ask that you would pray truly, because we don't, our intent here is not to lean on our own understanding, but to have the Holy Spirit guide our services. And so with that, I'd ask that you would lift Benny up in prayer, as that you would also lift up yourselves, that your understandings would be open, and give the service over to Benny. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. And Linda, one of the things that we're doing here is we're trying to make the services a little bit more interactive than typical. So during the sermon, if you have a question or whatever, feel free to ask it, and we'll, you know, take it up, because it, since we're not all in the same room and we can't all necessarily always hear the best, it's good to go ahead and be able to ask questions so that we can ensure understanding as we go.
Okay.
In a part of this, a number of us have gone over, in fact, the first thing I'm going to read, Jerry read to us last week, and that's going to be the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi. Because I was going through things this week, and it was a particularly challenging week for me. And, you know, the thought of perseverance kind of came to mind when I was thinking about sermons, because there's just all kinds of obstacles in life. Spiritual obstacles, physical obstacles, and perseverance is what gets us through so many of these situations. And in fact, salvation itself is very much based on our endurance. It's not a one-time thing that then we can quit and sit back and kick our feet up. It's something that's a daily thing that we just keep working at. So I'm going to start here at the first verse of chapter 13 of 2 Nephi. And now I, Nephi, make an end of my prophesying unto you, my beloved brethren. And I cannot write but a few things which I know must surely come to pass. Neither can I write but a few of the words of my brother Jacob. Wherefore the things which I have written sufficeth me, save it be a few words which I must speak concerning the doctrine of Christ. Wherefore I shall speak unto you plainly, according to the plainness of my prophesying. For my soul delighteth in plainness, for after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language, unto their understanding. Wherefore I would that you would remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord showed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh, then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now, I would ask you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water. Know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. And he's said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost. Like unto me, wherefore follow me, and do the things which you have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if you shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that you are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior, down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall you receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can you speak with the tongue of angels, and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after you have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that you had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you, I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance, and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, you have entered in by the gate, you have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you have received the Holy Ghost, which witness of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise, excuse me, which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, you should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith on him, in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and the love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And I know that most of us just heard this last week, but I wanted to read it again because, in a nutshell here, we've heard that, you know, kind of the basics of the foundation of the gospel, and the fact that we have to endure, and endurance is a key aspect of to just keep going. But the other thing that I wanted to kind of key on here a little bit too is in verse 29. Because a lot of times we talk about endurance to the end, and we get into this drudgery thinking, if you will. I don't know a better word for that. But the drudgery thinking will actually bring us down and prevent us from enduring. So 29, I really captures it, where it says, "Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ."
What do you mean by drudgery?
You say, "Well, I've got to endure to the end." Okay, this is me enduring to the end.
Kind of one of those for me.
Yeah, you get into a pity party of "for me, I'm enduring to the end," and you know, and what you lose when you do that is what I'm about to read you here. When you get into that way of thinking, you miss this. "Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men." That's what enables you to endure, is having that hope and that steadfastness and cultivating that love. Because it's a matter of our human nature that unless we have a reason, we don't do things. And
is it because we're pessimistic?
I don't know if it's because we're naturally pessimistic or if it's because we're just naturally lazy. But for some reason, it seems to be just a piece of human nature. But I just wanted to hit on that one again before I go to the next reading. I want everybody to turn to Psalm, the 30th Psalm. I'm going to read that. Because a lot of it gives us a perspective, because sometimes we get down. And you know, right now we've been praying for Amy, and we've known she's just had a series of things one after the other. And it's easy to get discouraged when you just seem like you get just right out of one problem and right back into the next. And I'm sure that Terry's kind of experienced this too, because with his diabetes and getting transplants and then having infections, and just sometimes it kind of balls up on you, and you got to try to pull yourself out of that. And I'm going to tell you that you can't just pull yourself out of it. You got to have help, and this is your help. Okay, I'm going to read the Psalm 30, and my Bible has a little thing in there. It has a little commentary about the psalm. It says this is a song that was at the dedication of the house of David. "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and thou, the Lord, and unto the Lord..." Let me start that verse again. "I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end of my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." And the reason I wanted to read this is because David was very good. I mean, he had his shortcomings, but one of the things that was a characteristic of King David was that he understood that when you get out of the whatever trouble you're in, it's the Lord that raises you up and gives you gladness. He puts it in your heart. He helps you to continue on, regardless of what the challenge is. And that, you know, and the key here is that, you know, the crying, the weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So if you just hang on, the Lord's going to bless you. It's going to get better. And I want to turn then over to James in the 5th chapter. And again, it's another related passage here of where James is talking just basically about some of the daily life things, and that there are problems, and a lot of our problems are created by ourselves and the things that we have, and how we can get through it. And, you know, Paul in one part talks about running the good race, you know, and the thing is to complete what you started, and do that with the gospel. Complete what you started. You went down into the waters of baptism like we read over in Nephi. That's your start. Finish what you started. Now we come to the endurance and that brightness of hope, the exercise of that faith, and the continuing on, and that love, you know, the love of God and of all men, that charity that, you know, is going to be in the next passage. So, go now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So he's telling us all these things. His first thing is a condemnation of those who've oppressed the people that actually made their money for them. And in today's society, I mean, we've seen a number of things like this, the Enron scandal, and there's things that go on all the time, just that's not as big a splash in the media, but where the rich have actually gotten richer because they didn't pay the people who actually made the money for them what they should have. And that's just a fact of life, and there is a recompense for that. It's not a recompense that we give. It's something for God to handle. But what he's trying to get us to understand here is to be patient. You know, because God's been patient, he's going to take care of the situation. We just need to be patient and let him take care of the situation. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, But let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Before I go on there, I just wanted to once again go back here. If we talk about Job, the fact that what Job went through, and he lost everything that he had except for his life. And he was actually tormented by those who he called his friends. But when he came out the other side, because he was patient and waited on the Lord, even though he complained a bit, and I think we all tend to be whiners from time to time, that the Lord blessed him and made him even richer than he was at the outset. In all manners, you know, both family, money, and land, and flocks. It just, but from Job's trial, we can see that the Lord does take pity on us, and he does have mercy, and he does care. And we need to take courage in that. And then we need to use the tools that are at our disposal. And that's going to be the next little piece here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So, you know, the second half of this chapter, he's really telling us, talking to us about whatever need you have. And sometimes we need to sing. And we're happy and we're rejoicing, kind of like David was here in the psalm that we read, where he needed to let his joy out. And that's a need, just like it is that we need to have people understand our suffering and pray for us. When we have need for blessing, we also have need to express our joy. And that we also have a need to help each other. Not to condemn each other, but to help. Not to have grudges, but to help. That as we go through life, there's folks that we can actually do some good for. And sometimes we'll do things and no good will come of it. And that's okay too, because I think we grow when we do that, when we try to help and nothing happens. And I want to move on now to Moroni, the 7th chapter. Persevere, but I don't really believe it's going to do any good. Well, you're going to give up. And so the things that keep us from giving up is what I want to talk about here. And we'll start on the first one of the seventh chapter of Moroni. And now I, Moroni, write a few of the words of my father Mormon, which he spake concerning faith, hope, and charity. For after this manner did he speak unto the people, as he taught them in the synagogue which they had built for a place of worship. And now I, Mormon, speak unto you, my beloved brethren, and it is by the grace of God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and his holy will, because of the gift of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. And that's the other thing. I'm going to speak to the ministry present here, that sometimes we acknowledge the fact that being a minister is a responsibility and a duty. But here Mormon talks specifically about the fact that our ministry is a gift. And that we get to preach, we get to do this by permission. And that's a good thing, that we have received a gift by being called. We weren't called to drudgery, we were called to joy. We are called to a gift, and that's a good thing. Wherefore I speak unto you that are of the church, that are peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which you can enter into the rest of the Lord, from this time henceforth until you shall rest with him in heaven. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift, or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore, he is counted evil before God. And likewise also it is counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. And I'm going to stop there for just a minute, because it talks about the praying and with real intent. And a lot of people I've heard talk about, well, I don't feel like I can pray because I don't feel like I'll mean it. That's not what he's talking about here. He's saying pray and ask that you can mean it. The type of prayer he's talking about here is the folks that pray publicly and they don't have an intent other than to impress the hearers of his prayer, not to communicate with God. But there's times when we have to pray because we've got a problem and we have an attitude and we need to ask God to help us get our attitude straight. And that, don't use this verse as an excuse not to pray, because you need to always pray. It's just make sure that when you're praying to God. You're not praying so that somebody in the next room or, you know, in the next pew can hear you and think of how wonderful a prayer that was and how beautiful it was. I mean, if they think that, that's fine, but it needs to be a prayer from you to God. And if somebody thinks it's wonderful, great. If they don't, that's fine too, because you're talking to God. Let's continue on with the ninth verse here. For behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ, and if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good, and to love God, and to serve him, is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good and evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore, I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore you may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work. For he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they who subject themselves unto him. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully. For with that same judgment which you judge, ye shall also be judged. Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that you should search diligently in the light of Christ, that you may know good from evil. And if you will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, you certainly will be a child of Christ. And now, my brethren, how is it possible that you can lay hold upon every good thing? And now I come to faith, to that faith of which I said I would speak, and I will tell you the way whereby you may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God, knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ, and in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were divers ways that he manifested things unto the children of men, which were good. And all things which are good come unto Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, and by faith they become the sons of God. And as sure as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing, that ye shall receive. Behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Because Christ hath ascended into heaven and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy which he hath upon the children of men? For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those who have faith in him. And they who have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither have angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his commandment, showing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance and to fulfill... Let me start that over again. office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth a way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner brings to pass the Father the covenant which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, if you will have faith in me, you shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient. And he has said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory in the last day, that they are true, and if they are true, has the day of miracles ceased? Or have angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or has he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief, and all is vain. For no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then has faith ceased also, and an awful is the state of man. For they are as though there had been no redemption made. Behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that you have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then you are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that you can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man hath faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly in heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if you have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. The charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And I'm going to stop there for just a minute and draw your minds back to where we were talking about having that love of God and of all men. I think that comes right in here. charity, having that brightness of hope, and having charity. And we have to, you know, the faith, the hope, and the charity are the things that help us endure. And now I'll finish here. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with his love, with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, and when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. And I guess the reason I brought this forward, maybe I'm more preaching to myself today than anybody else, because I had one of those weeks where it seemed like at every turn, things, instead of improving, I got one thing done and there was three more. And it just seemed like I was going backwards all week. And it really made me think about endurance and perseverance and how salvation is something that is worked out, that takes time. It's not a single event. And the things that keep us going, the hope, the love, the charity, and the faith, believing that it will get better, is the thing that kind of kept me going this week. And so I thought maybe perhaps it might help somebody else by hearing this again. So thank you for your time, and Jerry, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Benny. I think I needed this too. Thanks for the for yielding to God's Spirit and bringing us this message. It actually reminded me of many of the tools that He's given us to help us endure and to persevere. I want to remind us that next week we'll be back at for Sunday school at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central, and we'll start on this study guide that Bill Malone put together, that's Be Ready to Give an Answer. And we'll have a sermon next week by our brother Don Hitt. So I look forward to hearing from you all then. So if you will, bow your heads with me. I'll offer a closing prayer for today. Heavenly Father, I truly thank you for the words that you've given us. I thank you for the gifts and the tools that you've given us to help us, that we might remain courageous, and that we might continue on and persevere, endure to the end. I pray that you would be with us and be in us and help us, that we would be salt and light, and that we would remain your children, we would do your will. I do want to lift up both Amy and Terry for your blessing, and I ask that you would also bless them in spirit, that they would have courage and strength. And we would give you in all these things the glory. And we do ask these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen.
Now, Jerry, you said 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Did you mean 10 Eastern, 9 Central?
That will be the... Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay, could we stop the recording? I got...